In the midst of darkness, we light a candle. In the midst of fear and despair, we call forth hope. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my pleasure to serve this warm and hopeful congregation. Welcome to Christmas Eve services at West Hills UU Fellowship. It is wonderful to be gathered here on this holy night. Everyone is welcome. If you're at home, or if you're here, or if you're watching a recorded service. These words are from my colleague, the Reverend Victoria Safford. Now is the moment of magic, when the whole round earth turns again toward the sun. And here's the blessing. The days will be longer and brighter now, even before winter settles in to chill us. Now is the moment of magic, when people beaten down and broken, with nothing left but misery and candles and their own clear voices, kindle tiny lights and whisper secret music. And here's a blessing. The dark universe is suddenly illuminated by the lights of the menorah, suddenly ablaze with the lights of the kanara, and the whole world is glad and loud with winter singing. Now is the moment of magic, when an eastern star beckons the ignorant toward an unknown goal. And here's the blessing. They find nothing but an ordinary baby, born at midnight, born in poverty, and the baby's cry, like bells ringing, makes people wonder, as they wander through their lives, what human love might really look like, sound like, feel like. Now is the moment of magic, and here's a blessing. We already possess the gifts we need. We've already received our presence, ears to hear music, eyes to behold lights, hands to build true peace on earth, and to hold each other tight in love. Let us rise and sing joy to the world. The words are going to be on the screen. You don't need anything. Reading this morning is by Carl Scovel, Reverend Carl Scovel, a UU minister from the middle of the 20th century. And this is called Never Far From Home. to think that after many years of living together, our family has developed a certain sense of equilibrium, a certain ease with one another. At times, of course, differences arise, and occasionally an outright act of rebellion. But at the reigning benevolent despot of the King's Chapel Parsonage at 63 Beacon Street, I like to think we get along very well. I don't pretend that all differences are resolved. For example, I grew up in a house without central heating and have always felt that a cool house is a healthy house, impervious to cold and conducive to the flow of blood. My daughters do not share that sentiment. Last Christmas, when I refused to turn up the heat, our younger daughter exclaimed, "Behold, a decree went out from Carlo Augustus that all the world should be frozen," and each went to her own room to be frozen. That Christmas Eve, we held our traditional services of song and scripture, but I added a small new feature. On the old communion table, we placed a creche. We'd never had a crutch at King Chapel before, and I wasn't sure how many people would take to it. And I hoped that the muted colors of the terracotta figures might soften any Puritan objections. We went through the services, and I heard nothing but words of appreciation. I was relieved and thought perhaps we'd started a new tradition. I had finished greeting the crowd after the late service when a deacon approached me with a worried look and said, "I think you better come down to the chancel." "Why, what's the matter, Tom?" I said. "One of the pieces of the creche has been stolen." "Which one?" I asked. "The Christ child," he answered. "Oh, Lord," I thought. "Here we put this out for the first time, and arg!" We got to the chancel and looked at the creche, and sure as shooting, the baby was gone. I looked under the table and around the chancel floor, nothing. Then back to the creche, and I saw the edge of a tiny slip of paper protruding from beneath the figure of Mary. I drew the paper out and found the following message, neatly printed in pencil. "We've got Jesus. Turn up the heat at 63 Beacon Street, and you can have him back for the morning service." The heat went up at the parsonage, the infant reappeared, and everything returned to normal. Well, not quite. The benevolent despot of 63 Beacon Street sits less certainly upon his throne. No monarch, indeed no despot, can ever be quite sure of his rule when the child has been born.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Scott Winters, and I'm your lay leader this evening. And in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
So now we have a responsive reading. You will read the bolder, darker print. All right. It's by the Reverend Margaret Gooding. "They told me that when Jesus was born, a star appeared in the heavens above the place where the young child lay. It was a wonderful miracle, part of a long ago story foretelling an uncommon life.
They told me the truth of the fire.
When I was older and believed in science and reason, I believed the story of the star explained. The star explained became the star understood for Jesus, for Buddha, for Zarathustra. Who knows what it may foretell? Who knows what uncommon life may yet again unfold?
If we even give it a chance.
Let us rise and sing Away in a Manger.
I'd like to invite the shepherds and the sheep and the angels to come forward. We are now continuing our reading from the Gospel according to Luke. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among all peoples." Let us stand and sing together, "Angels We Have Heard on High."
Oh,
Continuing reading from the Gospel of Luke. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Now let us go, even unto Bethlehem, to see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they made haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, which was just as the angel had told them.
Sharon's Christmas Prayer by John Shea. She was 5, sure of the facts, and recited them with slow solemnity, convinced every word was revelation. She said they were so poor they only had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to eat, and they went a long way from home without getting lost. The lady rode a donkey, the man walked, and the baby was inside the lady. They had to stay in a stable with an ox and an ass. But the 3 midshipmen found them because a star littered the roof. Shepherds came, and you could pet the sheep but not feed them. And the baby was born. And do you know who he was? Her quarter eyes inflated to silver dollars. The baby was God, and she jumped in the air, whirled around, dove into the sofa, and buried her head under the cushion, which is the only proper response to the good news of the incarnation. Let us sing Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain.
Now we're moving over to the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, Where is the child who's been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at the rising and have come to pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let us now sing, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Will you please stand? Concludes the story told over the centuries, a story of wonder and awe, a story that resonates with mystery, peace, and joy.
So long ago, and just yesterday, an old woman lived in an Italian village. She was very old. No one in the village could remember any time that she had not been old. Her name, they called her Old Belfana. And Old Belfana, she wasn't that friendly. She didn't really speak to people. She scowled a lot. No one knew her very well. The children thought she was actually crazy because she swept so much. And it was true. She swept her house each morning. And then she swept her porch, and then she swept the path all the way down to the road. And then at lunchtime, she swept her house, and she swept her porch, and she swept the pathway all the way down to the road. And then she did the same thing before she went to bed each night. But sometimes out of Old Belfana's house were the most amazing and delicious smells. The smell of bread cooking and the smell of cookies and biscuits and muffins. And people would find themselves walking on the roads near her house, not too close, but that they could smell those delicious smells. Well, Old Belfana one day, she swept her house and she swept her porch and she swept the road all the way down to the porch. And it was bedtime, and she went to bed, and she crawled under the covers, but it was so light. She thought maybe she'd left on the lamp, so she got up, and all the lamps were off, and she opened her curtains. And outside was this magnificent star. It was so beautiful, and it was almost as big as the sun, and the entire outside was as light as day. She watched it a long time, amazed, and then she went back to bed. She couldn't sleep very well because it was so light. But she got up at the same time the next morning. She had her coffee and ate some muffins, and then she swept her house, and she swept her porch, and she swept the pathway all the way to the road.
And at the end of the pathway, she thought she heard bells. But that was strange. There was no bells in the town. She cocked her head and she listened. Maybe it was the birds. And then she looked down the road, and over the hill was coming the most magnificent caravan she had ever seen in her life. There were camels. This was an Italian mountain village. There was camels, and there was horses, and there was elephants, and all kinds of people, and beautiful colors like she'd never seen, especially purples and golds. And she watched the caravan till it came and it stopped right in front of her. And there was three men there who were clearly kings. They were dressed in magnificent clothes with close embroidery and all in colors no one in her village could make. And one of the kings spoke to her and said, "Do you know the way to Bethlehem?" "No," she said, "I've never even heard of Bethlehem." "Oh," said somebody else, "well, we're going to Bethlehem because the child king, the savior, is going to be born." "A child king," she said, "a savior?" "Yes," said somebody else, "the child is going to bring love and peace and help to all the people who are poor." "Oh," said old Belfana, "I don't know anything about a child or Bethlehem." And so they nodded, and the caravan started up again and started away. And somebody called out to her, "You should come. You should come see the child." And old Belfana said, "No, I have too much work to do. I've got sweeping and cleaning and baking." It was her baking day, so she went back into the house, and she started her bread and her cookies and her scones. And all day, though, as she baked, she thought about a savior who brought peace and love and help to the poor. And goodness knows she was poor, as were all her neighbors. They could all use some help, a savior. As she cooked, she thought more and more about it, and she thought, "You know, I would love to see this child, the child who's going to save us all." So she, by the end of the day, she decided to pack a basket with all of her baked goods. And as she was getting them ready, she thought, "You know, I should really bring my broom, because the mother, she probably needs help with housework." So she gathered everything up, and then she thought, "Well, I should sweep the house one more time before she went." So she swept her house, and she swept the porch, and she swept all the way down to the road. And then she picked up her basket, and she picked up her broom, and she started down the road, calling, asking for the caravan to slow down. The caravan was far, far ahead of her, and she began to run. And then she heard out of the night the voices of angels saying that a baby had been born for everyone. And it was a magical night, a miraculous night. And old Belfana, she ran until she was running as fast as the wind, and then she was on her broomstick, and she was flying through the air. But she could never find the Christ child. She never did find Bethlehem. But she thought it could be any child. And so she left cookies and cakes at every child's house that she sees. And she does that to this day, because who knows what child could be the savior of us all, bringing peace and love and hope for everyone.
For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises.
Offer this prayer and meditation by my colleague, the Reverend Lisa Doge.
Holy, unnameable one. Holy, unknowable one. Again, we have read the story. Again, we have sung the tale. Again, we wonder at our place in it. Is it ours to tell? How can it be ours to live? Move in our hearts, we pray. And when the voices of the angels, the sigh of the winter wind, the sounding of bell or harp or children's song hear your message into the world, we might hear and heed and believe. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Each of us is a favored one. Life is with us. The folks next door, drivers, farmers, moms and dads, teachers, aunts and uncles and cousins, bankers, chefs, students, healers, handymen, retirees, and volunteers, plant in us belief. Fear not. Those strange happenings unfold, though death is real, though war ravages nations and rends hearts and families, though tyrants reign, though injustice seems omnipresent and intractable, though our very earth ails, fear not. The final act has not yet been played. Tend in us belief. For see, I am bringing glad tidings of great joy. The final act is even now being written anew. Courageous souls disrupt complacency in the service of justice. Awareness flares and swells. Hearts break open. The people learn another way to tend the earth and one another and loving care. Spark in us belief. Unto you, even unto us, broken, sinful, crabby, uncertain us. Even unto us, prideful, angry, self-satisfied us. Even unto us, privileged, struggling, lost us. Even unto us, making it through, doing our best, more blessed than most of us. Fan in us belief. Is born this day, not long ago and far away, not once upon a time remembered, storied but no longer, not in distant days to come, this day, this 21st century day in December in Oregon, this day on which we have woken one more time to live the lives given to us and grow in love and bless the world with our being, awaken in us belief. A savior. Each child born is a savior. Each of us reborn is a savior. Knowing not how or when or why we will save the world, yet born each day to do so in some way possible only through our life. Stir in us belief. And so, may we ourselves become the voices of the angels, the sigh of the winter's wind, the sounding of bell or harp or children's song, proclaiming now and forever your message to all lands and all peoples, peace on earth. Amen.
Below the star, the kings, the angels, and the shepherds, they found a hurting family. They were homeless refugees about to go into hiding in a foreign country to save their son's life. They did not know where they would sleep or when they would eat. People in our community struggle with the same and similar worries. Where will they sleep? What will they eat? Will they get gas for their car? Can they go to the doctor? The CareNet Emergency Fund here at WOOF provides resources to people in our congregation who struggle with hard times, as well as those outside our walls who need help. Our whole offering this evening will go to that fund. Please give generously.
Let us be still in the darkness of our sacred space and listen to the quiet around us. For even in the quiet, there is the gentle being with others. Let us feel the warmth of our community, knowing we are not alone. For in the quiet shadow is the glow of life within all. Let us know in the darkness the gift each candle bears, a small, diminutive light, yet the wondrous gift to kindle another's glow. Let us be in awe at this moment as we take up each flame, share flame, and with each light, we are sharing love and hope and peace from our being. So we will now light candles, Christmas candles. Take your light into the world and keep it burning, for the world needs our light. For as Howard Thurman says, when the song of the angel is stilled and the star in the sky is gone, when the king and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild nations, to bring peace among brothers, and to make music in the heart. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone.